The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples of John approached Jesus and said, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast much, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one patches an old cloak with a piece of unshrunken cloth, for its fullness pulls away from the cloak and the tear gets worse. People do not put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, the wine spills out, and the skins are ruined. Rather, they pour new wine into fresh wineskins, and both are preserved." The Gospel of the Lord. We are celebrating a votive mass of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. See? I always like to provide visual aids, but if we could also turn to her for her intercession, that she can help us to receive God's word and help me to speak it. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I have heard it said that fasting is romantic. As we here again in this gospel passage, fasting is romantic. It has to do with the bridegroom. When we read the fathers of the church, as they interpret this passage, we also find that fasting is a burden. It's not easy. The fathers of the church say that it's not possible, in fact, for us to fast until we know the bridegroom. That is drawn particularly from the two images that Jesus gives us right after, instructing us that when the bridegroom is with them, they don't fast, but when the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast. Then we hear about the old cloth and the new patch. We hear about the old wineskins and the new wine. The old cloth and the old wineskins, the fathers tell us, are symbols of the disciple. The disciple before the resurrection. The disciple before the resurrection is not able to take on the whole burden of the new dispensation, is not able to take on all of the spiritual practices that will be possible after the resurrection. We need the renewal of the resurrection in order to be able to take on, for example, fasting. I would present that to you in a little bit of a different way. Fasting is difficult. Can be painful, might be exciting at first, but all of that is possible because of the love that we have for Jesus. Out of love for him, we can take on such sacrifices. Out of love for him, we can empty ourselves out. We can endure our growling stomachs. Out of love for him, we can take on even the difficulty of fasting. And so what the fathers of the church are basically telling us is that it's too much for us if we don't love him, if we don't know him, if we can't do it for him. Simply doing it out of some sense of duty or doing it out of some sense of even dieting or some other selfish motive is simply not going to endure. It's not going to last. If it's not being done for love, then it's not going to work. Fasting not only is romantic, it must be romantic. If it's not done for love, then it's empty and it will fade away and it simply becomes a burden. But when it is done for love, it becomes a joy. And so we can't really take on fasting until we know him. We have to be transformed, not just the disciples of the old law, but the disciples of the new law, the ones who have been brought into a romance with him, who have been brought into an intimate relationship with him. Then we embrace this out of love. We need to be transformed by knowing him as the divine bridegroom, which again, to draw back to the fathers, happens after the resurrection. And so in that light, when we hear that when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast, we could see that not as the taken away in the passion, but as the taken away in the ascension, which, as we've reflected earlier, is not really being taken away, but is rather already the mystical body emerging into the light of heaven. It's because we already have one foot in heaven, or one head in heaven. We've already begun emerging into heaven that we can take on fasting, recognizing that part of us is still on earth, while we have the courage to see that there is a new life that has begun, that is already emerging into heaven. And so even as we experience the emptying of our bodies through fasting, and as we experience the weight of our flesh in that way, our spirits rejoice because we wouldn't be doing this if we hadn't already begun to emerge into heaven. I was struck also recently by a statement of Pope Benedict, I think one of his Easter Vigil homilies from a few years ago, but he spoke about Jesus in the resurrection. When he comes back among his disciples in the resurrection, they experience, Pope Benedict says it this way, they experience a new life form. We use this phrase so often, a new creation, that I think it's lost some of its power. But somehow, when we say a new life form, that opens us up to like a new species somehow. A new kind of human being has emerged in the resurrection. A new life form that cannot be touched by death. That's striking. There has never been a human being before that cannot be touched by death. But when Jesus returns in the resurrection, he comes among us as a human being, of course, God also, but as a human being who can no longer be touched by death. That's a new form of life. That's a new creation that we've never experienced before. And we already begin to live in that. We know that our mortal bodies will die, but already at the same time, we begin to live this new creation. We're united with this mystical body that can no longer be touched by death. And again, that gives us the courage and the strength to fast. What are we afraid of in fasting? What are we afraid of when our bodies are empty, when our stomachs are growling, when we start to feel the weakness of fasting onset? Ultimately, we are afraid of death, because all of those things are a sign of death. It's our body's natural way of telling us, if you keep this up, it's going to go badly for you. But we have the courage still to continue that, because we know that we are sharing in an eternal life. We are sharing in a mystical union with a bridegroom who is risen and can no longer be touched by death. And so we have the courage to stand in the face of the signs of our bodies dying, and yet our spirits rejoicing, because we are made to be united with him who lives forever. The last point that I want to bring out about this is that in this passage, something really striking is opened up for us, something that we really take for granted because we've been living in it, well, many of you for your whole lives, me for all of the most important parts of my life, the connection between eating and the presence of the bridegroom. Jesus is actually giving us a critical Eucharistic catechesis in this passage. He's telling us that eating has to do with communion with the bridegroom. Eating has to do with the intimate union, the consummation of our relationship with the bridegroom. There is a way in which we are eating and the bridegroom is close to us. In fact, closer to us than any other communion that we experience on earth or in heaven. Eating has to do with the presence of the bridegroom. He is teaching us about the Eucharist. And this is a very important point. Because the way that he gives himself to us in the Eucharist requires a deep sensitivity of heart. Because eating him in the Eucharist is not like having a gourmet meal. It simply doesn't taste that way. at a sensual level, it doesn't strike us. If someone had communion and then they had, you know, a gourmet meal or even a bowl of ice cream, they would say, that bowl of ice cream is far more interesting. And that's the way that Jesus gives himself to us in freedom and faith. He doesn't overwhelm us. In this most intimate communion with us, he asks us, he needs us to have a sensitivity of heart to recognize how deep and how beautiful is that presence of the bridegroom. And how do we cultivate that sensitivity of heart? We have to purify our senses. And that happens through fasting. When we deny ourselves the sensual stimulation of food, then it helps us to move from human senses, from the five senses of sight and smell and touch and taste and hearing, to the five spiritual senses, you could say, to the sensitivity, the spiritual sensitivity of the presence of the bridegroom. It prepares us to receive him in food, but in a food which is much more than simply a food that fills our stomachs or that tickles our taste buds. He prepares us to receive him in a food that is everlasting, in a food that unites us with heaven, in a food that unites us in an eternal spiritual union that brings forth not just fruit that lives and dies, but fruit that is everlasting. And so in the church's wisdom, the church has always prescribed for us fasting as a preparation for the Eucharist. Fasting makes us realize that it is through food that we are going to come into this intimate communication with him, but then we also need to have our senses purified and emptied so that they can be sensitive to his presence, because otherwise we will miss him. And I had written a little note to you saying how deeply I was struck by the beautiful recognition that you have for the presence of the bridegroom, because he's far less interesting, less striking, less compelling than the joy of, you know, a festival of praise, which you're having a mini festival of praise after Pentecost. But that's so exciting and so stimulating that it would be so easy to overlook him. But you are having all of that stimulation at the same time that you are loving him, so humbly present on the altar. If somebody came into the church, they would be more interested by what you were doing than by what he was doing, unless they had eyes to see. And you have eyes to see. You have bridal hearts that are made to love him. And so even in the very humble presence of Holy Communion, which is not very exciting for our senses, but makes our hearts, our spiritual senses, burst with love for him, it gives us the courage to fast and to prepare for that intimate spiritual union that he gives us in Holy Communion. The bridegroom is here with us and gives himself to you fully in this Holy Eucharist. And that is why we have fasted and prepared, why we continue to fast and prepare, that our hearts can be, as we prayed in the opening prayer, a worthy home for him, like the heart of Our Lady, a worthy home that can receive him, always tenderly caress him, always welcome him, and never miss him in those very subtle movements, like Eucharistic communion, those subtle movements that he gives himself to us, in which he speaks to us every day. May our hearts be ever more sensitized through our fasting and our ascetical practices out of love for him, that we can always recognize him and receive him.